Go.
Hi, this is Tony with Define Audio Video.
And Tony was Quick Draw McGraw. This is Justin, his fearless sidekick, Looney Tune partner in crime, alibi, whatever you want to call it. T, how was your weekend, brother?
Actually, it was pretty good, man. I just kind of relaxed, you know, watched some TV.
Cool.
Checked out Tubi that we had talked about in one of our previous
podcasts.
Thought it was, you know.
Tubi, the streaming service, or DVR over the air?
The DVR
the app. Just the free thing?
Yeah, just the free app. And actually, I mean, it just took me back to the days of TV. I watched an old movie called Dream a Little Dream, and every so often it would play a commercial, and then it would go back to it,
That's just not bad.
When you're watching TV.
Yeah.
Now, I did learn something about that particular service, though, in my checking it out.
Okay.
Is that you can just use the app on, you know.
Yeah, you don't have to sign in or anything.
But if you do create an account, you can pick up where you left off in movies. So say you were watching something and then you stopped it and had to go do something. If you have an account and you're signed in, then you can go back to the last point of which you were watching that particular show or whatever. But if you don't sign in, which I did not, then if you stop what you're watching, it goes all the way back to the beginning.
So Tony and I like to do that. We like to try out the different apps and stuff like that. I haven't played with Tubi, so I have Tubi on my Apple, and I was just looking to the movies. I didn't actually try to watch.
There's actually a lot of really good movies on there.
No, I that's what I was seeing the other night as I was looking at it. I was like, man, there's a lot of cool stuff. So Tubi, T-U-B-I. It's, you can download it on Apple TV, Amazon, Roku, and it literally is free. You don't have to put any information in.
What's cool also is like the way the movies are categorized. It's like 1980s comedies, 1980s horror, and then it has, you know, the same for the 90s and 2000s. So you can actually sit there and, you know, narrow down, you know, by decade.
Okay, so that's cool. So that sounds like fun to me. So covering a little bit of weekend recap, covering pop culture in the movie news. Dune 2 literally slammed the box office, top grossing movie of 2024. I can't get into. I've never been able to get into Dune. A friend of mine called me out of the blue and said it was probably one of the best movies he's seen in a long time. Every shot.
Did you watch the first part of it?
No, so but
have you watched the original?
So here's the problem, and I'll explain why I can't watch
the original. Has Sting in it.
But the original movie was like this mystic. I was told it was filled with bad stuff type of movie, and so as a child I was never allowed to watch that movie. So even as an adult, I keep waiting for my parents to pop up around the corner and say, "Hey, what are you watching?" And I don't know why Dune just weighs so heavily. I guess because it was such a big deal when we were kids. You know, because it was a long movie.
It was a long movie, right? Back then, a three-hour movie, you might as well have been 6 hours.
Yep, so Dune 2 just completely knocked it out of the park. Everybody said it was a great movie. And then there was a Madame Web movie that released the week prior. Did so poorly, it caused Sony to pump the brakes on all Spider-Man or superhero franchise movies because they were going to launch a whole platform off of that particular series. So that didn't do well.
I wonder how that will affect their other venture that they're working on.
I don't know. I really think they're hoping Deadpool is going to resurrect.
Oh, you know that movie is going to just.
Oh, it's going to be.
It could be completely be horrible and people would still
see it. No, I think everybody wants to see Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds kind of do their thing on the movie screen.
They've been funny in all of their little memes and all of that leading up to it. So
yep. So Dune 2, if you've seen it, let us know. Let us know what you think. Everybody has said it's shot for shot. Literally every shot in this movie, you could either, in a direct quote from a good friend, is you could either hang it on the wall like artwork, or it is an atmospheric just awesome sound field that they really did pay attention to detail and everything. The director already green lit for Dune 3, and they don't even have a script yet. They said that's if great. He can come up with a compelling script, then we're good. So the movie studio is already ready to go for a Dune 3 as long as the director hits oil again, like yeah, he like has the, for the
I
first two.
I like the original
two.
When I was a kid. So
I never saw the original. I tried.
There's a lot of stuff my parents let me watch that you didn't get
well,
to watch.
Well, right. And I tried to watch the newest first one, and I got about 15 minutes in. I just couldn't do it. I don't know what. I don't know what it is about it. It's a slow start.
It is slower. It's a slow burn for sure. But, you know, for me, like, I was already into the sci-fi world with right. Star Trek and Star Wars.
So my dad was heavily into Star Trek. Jared, my older brother, was heavily into Star Trek. I was more of a Star Wars guy because Star Trek was too slow. I think there was, like, two episodes out of the 15 million where they actually used phasers. And so I was more of a lightsaber blaster type of guy because my attention span and they liked the scientific.
Yeah, Star Wars was
thing.
More like a spaghetti western.
Yeah. Or opera, space opera, I think is what Lucas called it at some point. But anyway, so cool things. We digress. So Tony and I are answering the top five questions we get all the time with these episodes 1, 2, and 3. So episode 1 was disc versus streaming. Episode 2 was cutting the cord. Episode 3 is what, T-Bone? What are we talking about today?
Today, we're actually going to go into what you're listening to it on, which is soundbars.
Soundbars. Okay, so I'm just going to weigh in here. I find soundbars horribly offensive, but I'll get to why. But what do you think?
Okay, it depends on the application.
Okay, fair enough.
Because in my living room, I have a 3.1 system.
Okay. So living room 3.1,
and that's just
meaning you have three speakers, or you have
yeah,
a
like I have a left,
sound
center, right, okay. And a subwoofer.
Got it.
And that's just because in my particular house and the way the room is, there's nowhere to put rear speakers. But not the point. What I was getting at is by application is in my bedroom, I don't need surround sound. Mm-hmm. I just don't. But I want better than TV speakers.
So, the reason why I find soundbars horribly offensive in the audio category, one, I'm a audio snob. Number two, it's how they market them. They market them as the end-all, be-all for simplified home theater. And it's so here's the thing. As people start getting older, they want to consolidate. If their AV receiver goes out, they'll call us and say, Justin or Tony, is there a way I don't have to buy a $1,000 AV receiver? Is there a way that I don't have to use a universal remote? Is there a way that, you know, I get it, I have speakers, but really it's just overwhelming. And I, honestly, at the end of the day, I just want to hear the TV. I don't care about bullets and raindrops and glass and explosions and stuff like that. And we get asked the soundbar question quite a bit. So what Tony and I typically do is educate the client because there are several different types of soundbars. There is a 2.1 soundbar. There is a 3.1 soundbar, which Tony just described what 3.1 was beautifully.
Yeah, it basically, you know, with a 3.1, that simulates having the three speakers because you'll have two on the left, two in the center, and two on the right. And they're kind of set to receive the signals that are being sent to that.
How
theoretically.
Ever where soundbars go off the rails is when they start getting atmospheric and 7.1 dot whatever and 7 channel and 5 channel and 11 channel. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be such a thing as an 11 channel soundbar, but I am telling you from an audiophile perspective, there is not such a thing as an 11 channel soundbar in a large room or even really a medium room because it is overhyped and marketed things that's just going to make your sound money. So,
well, wouldn't that just be 11 speakers coming from the front of the room? So it would be the same as just seven.
Great question.
Left, center, right? Yep,
great question. So what they've done in those types of sound bars is they've put drivers on the top of the sound bar and on the sides of the sound bar to cause room reflection, which in a small room, that works beautifully. In a large room, it sounds like a muddled mess of a situation. So what we're going to do today is kind of educate you on if you're trying to enhance dialogue. And that's the biggest question that Tony and I get the most. Justin, I can't hear voices anymore. And either it's either cause for a system recalibration, which meaning we can, Tony or I can come out to your home, or we can send a technician out to your home to recalibrate your system for vocality, or you can decide to scale down a little bit and add something that's going to enhance your vocals. For one, TV speakers are awful for the most part. So TVs went through a trend where they made them thinner with less border. I don't know why. We have still don't have a clue to this day why they want to make TVs thinner, because they always have a big butt to fit the speakers in, right? So
right.
The problem is to on the quest to make TVs thinner, the drivers got smaller. They started using reflective technology, meaning they bounce the sound off the back wall and around the TV, or they try to, unless you're Sony and they figured out a way to put speakers behind the glass of the TV and fire them at you, which is really neat, but that's a different subject. So TV speakers aren't as pleasant as they used to be because we made TVs thinner, sleeker, sexier. So things became more soundbar dependent because everything sounded like a tin can. So if you're trying to enhance dialogue, I would say less is more. Stick to their terminologies that, again, Tony just used in a very awesome, beautiful, descriptive way. And that's, you need to look for 2.1 soundbars and 3.1 soundbars. Anything over that is trying to use reflective technology, meaning the dialogue in most cases cannot be enhanced without going in and hitting a remote three or four times to get it into dialogue mode, and it becomes just an absolute pain in the rear end. That's my opinion. So the reason why I find them offensive is how they're marketed. You know, typically when you go to a big box store and they're marketing a atmospheric soundbar, pay attention to your surrounding. Most of the time, you are standing in a 8x8 or 12x12 where you have a back wall right behind you, and sometimes even a small floating roof over you. Pay attention, guys. It's using that technology to bounce that sound around you. If you have a standard living room that's 17 by 20 or 17 by 30 or 18 by whatever, it's not going to do that because your ceiling is much higher. Your room is much wider. However, have you ever bought something in the store and then you got it home and you're like, well, this doesn't sound the same or this doesn't look the same? I would say that's kind of the same expense, right?
Right.
So your parents use a soundbar, correct?
No, they don't. I'm actually trying to figure out which one I'm going to go with.
Well, this is a great topic for that. This is a good topic for that. So,
because they need, really, they don't care about surround sound.
Right.
They're one of those that don't care about that. But my dad's getting older. He worked in a machine shop for 30 years. His hearing is very, very poor.
So the first thing to go typically, as you get past 50 and 60, is high frequency. And for most people, high frequency hearing, even in 40s, high frequency hearing has started to become tarnished, I would say, and a little on the muddier side of things. And then not as much as low frequency. Low frequency doesn't seem to be as affected as much as the high frequency stuff. So, however, when you're watching things like the news or HGTV or the History Channel and things like that, it's not as surround sound oriented. Mm. And in my opinion, when we put sound bars that are atmospheric or trying to do too many things in that, coming out of that one bar, then it becomes a very muffled or muddy experience when you're trying to hear dialogue. And when you raise the volume, guess what? It's raising the volume on everything. Right. So in my humble opinion, if you want home theater, there's a way to get home theater but increase dialogue. But don't jump into the soundbar madness without doing some heavy research. A lot of good soundbar companies out there that do not take the offensive approach. You know, one of those, believe it or not, is actually Bose. Bose actually has a really good soundbar category. They have they've based their entire career off of reflective technology, using small drivers to reflect sound off of walls and things like that. Plus, Bose has their own built-in room correction. That's nice. That's a cool feature. So room correction is actually very important for soundbars, and most soundbar companies ignore it to try to keep it at a lower price point. So the other one, yes, I did say Bose. You heard me correctly. Strangely enough, Bose is one of them. It's actually a very good market for them, a very good niche for them. But if you have a parent or you yourself has a hearing loss issue because of whatever you worked in or whatever you did, or maybe you just were born with it, there are other categories that creep into the headphone category that may be more attractive to you than a dialogue enhancing soundbar. With that being said, so but Bose is a good category for that. You have Sonos. Sonos is an amazing category for that. NAD Bluesound is an awesome category for that. Sony makes a decent one. Klipsch, of all things, actually 100% markets for this, a 2.1 and a 3.1 soundbar, meaning if you want dialogue enhancement with a little bit of boom when things are going on television, then look for the 2.1 and 3.1 category. Do not look for atmospheric. Do not look for surround sound. Do not look for 11-channel sound bars. Yes, they do exist, but it's not the droid you're looking for, as Obi-Wan Kenobi would say in Star Wars. So, but let's talk about Sonos for a minute. You know, some of the bigger ones that we talked about. So Sonos is going to be in the higher price spectrum of the soundbars. Typical soundbars will run you between $500 to $900, and then they can actually go over that if you get into like the Sennheiser Ambio, or the there's a few other ones. Nakamichi makes one that's higher end. A couple other companies that have jumped into the Bowers and Wilkins is another one that make in the high that jump into the high end spectrum. In my opinion, and Tony's opinion, look for room correction. That's what you want to look for a good end result with a soundbar. Because what does room correction do from a studio engineer point, Tony?
Well, what it's going to do is it's going to send pink noise into the room, and it's going to measure reflections to help create spatial differences.
EQ. It's like an EQ, right? So it tones down your highs and mids because maybe you've got a weird reflection and does all the things. So there's several different avenues for that category. But what I like to look for if I'm recommending one is a room correction. And that will be room correction will be on the higher end of the price spectrum.
Like the Sonos Arc has that.
Correct. Sonos Arc has room correction. NAD Bluesound has room correction. There's a few, I think the Bose has room correction, but that's going to be on the higher end of the price spectrum, not the mid-tier of the price spectrum or the entry level of the price spectrum. Klipsch, the built-in Klipsch is not going to have room correction.
Yeah, but my Sony that I have in my bedroom, because mm-hmm. that's all I need in my bedroom. But it has like a night mode, which is just an EQ trick.
Right.
But then it also has like a vocal mode and stuff like that. Yeah. So it'll boost that, but it doesn't actually analyze your room.
Do you find that you're going through those very often, or is it a set it and forget it type of thing as you're watching?
I set it in that room, and it's been on the same setting for like 4 years.
Yeah, so I actually installed a Sonos soundbar arc last night, you know, and they did not use a subwoofer. It was for dialogue enhancement. So I did do the Sonos True Play, walking around the room, as we call blessing the room. If anybody has ever had to do that or watch somebody do that, it literally looks like you're blessing the room from evil spirits. type of thing. It is a room correction category. I still typically have to go in there and make some adjustments, because a lot of times room correction, even on the AV receiver side of things, is very conservative. It tunes it.
It's really just a starting point.
Right. Starting point.
And if you don't have like the sophisticated hearing that like I have from going through ear training, and then you just your experience in the field being a musician and all that also is, you know, it's great because you can go to that and yep. for most people it'll sound good.
So I typically don't enjoy like when we were doing the ARC, I did notice that Sonos has added a speech enhancement on their Beam, the ARC, and the Ray. NAD Blue Sound does the same thing. NAD Blue Sound only has one category for their soundbars, so they're a little bit just slightly behind the Sonos platform as far as options. Sonos just got a 20-year jump start on everybody. You know, Sonos has been out for a long time. They were a CI-built company. As much as people poo-poo on them, and most of the time it's CI guys that want to poop on them just because they email to your clients and they do this and do that, it falls into the Apple category. It just works. You know, there's something to be said for things that just work. So,
right.
Even after, I enjoy the sound bars with a subwoofer. Like, I use a Sonos.
See, mine has a subwoofer. Mine too. Yep. And, you know, it's, I put mine in a corner because it just sounds better that yep. way. But, you know, a lot of people, just the everyday person, when you say, oh, you know, how do you feel about subwoofers, they, you know, they're immediately like, oh, I don't, you know, really need that.
Right.
Because they don't really understand what it does for the sound. It mm-hmm. actually helps low-end frequencies help enhance some high-end frequencies yep. because the subharmonics of those things working together.
Right. No, you're right. It's mid-range. It's adding mid-range.
You know, I know that's like a, you know, a dork putting people to sleep way.
No, it's not that. So to Tony's point, sound bars use smaller speakers. They're back. If you go to Tony's Hey Guys episode one, the sound bars are less filling, as Tony's buddy used to say, or friend used to say. So the thing is the reason why they're less filling is because they're using typically 2.5-inch to 3.5-inch drivers, which are small itty bitty drivers. If you can think 2.5 to 3.5 inches, that's literally the size of your speaker.
But so I know we kind of crap on Bose for that, but Bose did figure out a way to make small speakers sound big.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and what they did, not just Bose, but what most soundbar companies do is they put more drivers in their device. They cross over those drivers to get the same channel to create the space of a larger driver. So if I take 2 3.5-inch drivers, or I take 2 3-inch drivers, it makes the same circumference of, or 3.2, it's the same thing as a 6.5-inch driver if it's crossed over to the same channel ish. In my opinion, a 6-inch driver is going to sound better, because it does, but that's what they're trying to do by adding lots of itty bitty drivers.
But stacking those drivers beside each other will actually change the dispersion.
It's kind of a poor man's array, right? Is essentially they're trying to build an array.
It's an array type situation.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even like the system that a lot of like singer songwriter performers and all will use, a Bose
the
O1
Bose
system,
S1. Yeah,
B1. Which is nothing but a line array that, you know, one guy can put up himself and
sure,
and then not have to bring a whole team to put it together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's kind of where, and again, Bose figured out a way, but the way they figured it out is they used what they call they don't call it a subwoofer. They actually call it a bass module. They set their bass module as a mid-range crossover, not just a low frequency crossover, where it will enhance what the left, right, and center and all their surround arrays and things like that do. So Yeah, no. So within that sound, and they have room correction. Then they have some of the, and their room correction actually is a pair of headphones you put on your ears. That's the microphone for the system, and it measures the room as the sound hits your ears. So in my opinion, their room correction is a little bit more sophisticated because, again, they have a what? How long's Bose been around? 40 years? You know, 50 years?
Somewhere around there,
They've been doing it longer than a lot of guys out there. We're not an advocate for Bose. I'm just saying in the soundbar category, they don't do a bad job. You know, with what they're doing, you know, but
no, but their systems are one of those where you really do need the sub to go with it.
I don't think they sell it. They may not even sell it without a sub.
They may
anymore.
Not, but yeah. But I know, like, you know, for instance, Sony has sound bars that they sell and all that that don't come with a sub
have a built-in passive radiator with a sound.
Yeah. You know, but if you get one by Bose, you really won't.
No, it's separate. You can buy an all-in-one Bose kit that comes with a subwoofer, and there's an all-in-one kit that comes with a soundbar and wireless rear speakers. So, but they do sell it standalone soundbar. I would concur with Tony. If you're going to do a soundbar, you really do need a sub to get that mid-frequency back on the road and back to it. So let's talk about Sonos for a minute. Sonos is what I would consider... You know, and a lot of people find Sonos offensive because of the marketing tactics and what they do with crossovers and things like that. However, I would say it is a pretty neat ecosystem. Sonos just isn't a soundbar, is it, Tony? You can do all kinds of fun things and add-ons with Sonos.
Yeah, the cool thing, and that's why it is a little bit... more on the prices, like you were saying before. But for people like my parents that don't really care about the surround sound, you know, I can get them that sound bar. But then, you know, because I do watch movies over there with my parents and all, and I do care about it, obviously, because I'm in the industry. But they have speakers that you can add to it to help turn that sound bar into... a surround sound system.
So that's pretty neat. We just saw that Bose has a smart ultra soundbar and quiet comfort headphones that can be used simultaneously. So if you do
that's
have
something
somebody,
that would be great for my dad.
Exactly. If you do have somebody that you just can't get the darn TV loud enough without blowing somebody out of the room, that's a pretty cool price structure.
My dad sits so close to the TV.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a pretty cool price. That would actually be a cool silver bullet because a lot of times when you're trying to incorporate wireless headphones in a system like that, it's hard to split the audio out.
What I was going to say is at that point, sometimes a lot of receivers, as soon as you plug headphones in, it bypasses the rest of the output. So then you've either got headphones or you've got surround sound, but you don't get both.
So I'm going to call myself on the carpet for a minute. I'm a Sonos user. We use it all the time, habitually. I have a Sonos Arc in my living room. I have a Sonos Arc in my bedroom. I have a Sonos Beam in another small sitting room. I have a Play 5 in the game room / formal living room. I have a Play 1 sitting on the kitchen counter. You know, I like the ecosystem, and I like the fact that if something is piped through television, I can group it to the other zones in the home and not have to blast the TV out in the living room. I can just group it with the kitchen speaker and hear my TV in the kitchen without turning it up so loud. So to me, that's an interesting feature. It can also be used for music only. Like, you can just stream music from your favorite music service, whether it be Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, Amazon Music, whatever. It works with Siri, it works with Alexa, it works with all the things, and it can be grouped and ungrouped for all that stuff, or voice controlled with those things. Also, don't let the voice control stuff scare you. The voice control stuff can actually be turned off if you don't want to use it with voice control, or you can purchase the items without voice control from the very get-go. So Sonos is cool, but it's a gateway drug for other things. You know, it unlocks Pandora's box.
Yeah, it just gets you started, and then from there you start figuring out how far you can really go.
Correct. How far you want to go. I know when I first did it, I was like, oh, cool. I can put a speaker in the laundry room, put a speaker in the closet, put a speaker in the bathroom, put a speaker. They even have a waterproof speaker you can throw in the shower if you want to. I mean, you can literally put speakers everywhere you want to go, and it's modular, meaning you don't have to buy it at the same time. You can buy it one at a time or this or buy it that. Blue Sound's very similar to that. NAD Blue Sound is very similar. Something like a Bose or a Klipsch is more of a one and done thing, and it doesn't really have that type of ecosystem, which is probably why Sonos leans into the more expensive category. Even though Bose, I'm looking at this Bose system, it's not cheap either. You know, it's still, no,
it's definitely, you know, it's about $1,000 more than what it paid for my system.
Correct. Yeah, no, exactly. So it's not cheap either, even though in my humble opinion, this is Bose's strong suit. Minus pro what they do in the pro audio sector, in my opinion. So we're not advertising for Bose or Sonos or Blue Sound. We're just talking about it. So full recap, less is more. Even though Sonos's soundbar is atmospheric, you can tailor through their EQ that atmospheric down and even turn the atmospheric side of it off if you want to just do dialogue enhancement with a subwoofer and have that future-proofed ecosystem throughout your home.
Yeah, and that's really just where you have to pay attention to how that soundbar works. Is it just 2.1 where they just split it down the middle and left and right, or do they split it up to where it's left, center, right, and then you can actually pump up that center channel to get better dialogue and have your left and right, which is where everything else lives, all of your background sounds and music and all of that.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's what's cool about Sonos and the Bose and even the Klipsch route is you can add wireless rear speakers. So if you do miss out or crave some of that surround sound wholesome goodness that you're missing, then yes, you can enhance and you can do things that fattens that sound up a little bit to add those rear channels, to add that panning from front to back and things like that. So that's the reasons why I like those options, is because you can have modular choices to add things later on. Just right. Keep in mind the Klipsch method and the Bose method are kind of a one and done thing. It's specifically
same thing with the Sony, like what I have.
Right, it's just a one and done aspect.
You buy it, yep. you put your woofer where you want it, you put your soundbar underneath the TV, and then you're done.
Yeah, and I think JBL also has something like that where they break off rear speakers and whatnot.
Yamaha does too.
The biggest thing I would say for sound enhancement and ease of control, meaning you're using one remote to rule them all, whether it be your cable TV remote or your Apple TV remote or your Roku remote or your Amazon remote or your Hulu or Vudu or Vudu remote.
See, my Apple TV pairs up with my Sony everything. Soundbar and yep. subwoofer. All I have to do is go into the settings and...
Are you using optical or ARC for your soundbar? Is it using an HDMI cable or is it using optical?
On my old TV,
your plasma.
On my old TV, it was a plasma TV, and that one I actually found somebody was throwing it away, so the actual sound card didn't work, but the optical did. So I used optical.
So use optical.
One. But now I'm using a Samsung TV, and with that one I'm using HDMI.
Okay, so HDMI. So that would be the other important thing that I would look at.
You got to pay attention to the ARC port.
Yeah, make sure that it has an ARC port. Also, ladies and gentlemen, make sure your TV has a compatible ARC port.
For those who don't know what ARC is, that's audio return channel. That's the actual mechanics of the TV that actually tells the audio to go out of the TV and over to another device. So if you're using like smart TV functions and stuff like that.
I thought it stood for Aardvark Racing Club.
It could.
So what does EARC stand for?
Extreme Aardvark Racing.
So as Tony was saying, audio return channel, meaning your TV backfeeds audio into your soundbar. But what that also opens the gate up to is HDMI control, meaning you can control your soundbar with your cable TV remote or any streaming remote or even your TV remote of your choice. I think when I put that soundbar in last night, it was literally last night, their remotes were automatically controlling it. I think the only remote I had to program... A lot of the newer
stuff, yeah, is doing exactly what you're saying. It will immediately just detect it.
The only one that it wasn't working with that I had to program was the old DirecTV remote. I had to go into the DirecTV box and just tell it to control the audio receiver. Yeah, and
with my Apple TV, I have to sometimes the Bluetooth, because it actually connects Bluetooth to my Apple TV, and it doesn't even use the
that's interesting.
HDMI. So sometimes if it loses connection with the Bluetooth, then I'll have to go into the settings and go to wireless devices and select it.
So eARC is basically an enhanced version of ARC, and it's going to work with your newer audio formats or uncompressed newer audio formats such as Dolby Atmos or DTSX or Dolby Vision, or not Dolby Vision, sorry, but that's a different thing. But it's going to work with the uncompressed audio formats, meaning it's going to be a more fill-in sound. It's going to give you more information to enhance your audio, including dialogue. So your newer TVs will have eARC. Do not panic if your TV does not have eARC. It is all these.
That is not as crucial as
it's backward
ARC.
Compatible. Yeah, it's backward compatible. Even older TVs will have ARC. I've seen TVs that are 8 to 10 years old that have ARC on them. You know, even I think your Elite Plasma has ARC on it.
I think so.
The Pioneer does. I don't think your Panasonic would. I don't think ARC existed back then. But anyway, so all it stands for is it's a audio return connection that the newest soundbar uses for the best type of sound.
Yeah, it's just a communication street.
It's just a form of communication. And unlike the optical port, sometimes the optical, if you're using optical, you have to program your TV with something called SimpliLink or a different type of control to help your TV remote learn the optical command, because optical is not as smart as the HDMI port is. HDMI carries all types of remote information and things like that.
Yeah, whereas so the control part of it is a little bit more clunky.
Yeah.
But
so my favorite, used to be my favorite soundbar, was actually the Yamaha category. Yamaha had this crazy, and it's still a really fun soundbar to use in a smaller room because of the reflective technology that they're trying to use. And you'll see they used to have a really large soundbar that they use. They've kind of scaled a lot of that back now because most of their soundbars were incredibly expensive. A lot of people didn't jump after them. There's also a passive soundbar category. Tony, what is a passive soundbar? What does that mean?
Okay, so passive means that it does not have the amplifier built in.
Right.
Which means all of the smart stuff, like I was talking about on mine, where it had like vocal and theater and all the different settings, not going to have that, because that's all going to be inside of your AVR or audio video receiver.
So the big black box with the volume knob, that you plug stuff into. Yeah. So the advantage of one of those, though, is that you're using room correction of your AV receiver, not just a plain Jane room correction that's using an iPhone microphone or something like that, right? I mean, that would be it. However, it's not simplifying. It's actually very similar to the moving components of using a bookshelf left, center, right, or tower left, center, right.
Yeah, it definitely changes the dynamic of how it works then, because now you're actually having to pay attention to the outputs on the back of your audio video receiver, so that, you know, you got to make sure that if, for instance, your soundbar has three sets of posts on it, which will be a three channel soundbar,
left, center,
you
know, right,
you'll have to make sure that you pair those up with the left, center, right, and remember, always do it the opposite. Because otherwise, you're going to have the left sounds on the right side and the right
sounds. Otherwise, you're switching wires around afterthought. The other cool thing you can do with a passive soundbar, which we've done before in certain applications, is wire them in mono and just use them as a large center channel that's attached to the TV if you don't have a shelf for your center
channel. Well, yeah, and also depending upon what other speakers are in the equation.
Right. So, but that's not really simplifying. I just... To me, when somebody walks in and they say, you know, my AV receiver went out. Justin, is there just some way to make this stuff work simple? All I want to do is watch the blank television. You choose the four-letter word you want to use. And the answer is yes, you can. The answer is yes, you can. It, you know, we can use something like Sonos or Yamaha or Bose or JBL or Panasonic or Sony or LG or whatever you want to do, or Klipsch. What I would say is focus on what that soundboard manufacturer is focused on. If they're talking about Atmos and DTS 3D audio and crap like that, the answer is it's probably not going to meet your requirements to hear voicing as much as something like a 2.0 or a 2.1 or a 3.1 or a Sonos.
Well, then also your placement becomes very important on that, because like you were saying, speakers on the side, speakers on the top of it. So if you try to mount that soundbar underneath your TV
or put it in a cabinet
yeah, you're going to actually block some of your speakers.
You are going to block some of your speakers, which does this, which creates this megaphone effect, and you can't figure out why. Hey, Tony, why can't you understand me? Because it should sound like this. Well, that's what happens when we put speakers that use reflective technology in a cabinet, is they do this, and you sound like the McDonald's drive-thru lady. So, or person, I guess. So with that being said, if you want to do that, yes, soundbars do simplify things. They don't sound that bad. Again,
they are not a theater solution. No. They are a simple solution. They're usually more for like living rooms,
and bedrooms,
playrooms,
game rooms, stuff like that,
where you're just listening to music or creating background noise. Or just watching day-to-day TV, not somewhere you're going to sit and watch your movie. Some people might, though.
Here's the other benefit of an app-controlled soundbar on the more expensive category, like a Sonos or like a NAD Blue Sound, is if you put one in your teenager's room, you have volume control that you can turn down if they're turning, or you can switch the songs as they get older, or turn mainly control the volume. And that goes for any Sonos speaker or Blue Sound speaker, whether it be the bigger category 5 series speaker or the 3 series speaker or the 1 series speaker. The parents can see it on the app and turn it down or switch music if they deem necessary, which I am so happy that technology did not exist when I was a child.
But there is also the company WIM that has created an amp like the Sonos amp.
Yes, so WIM has not released a speaker as of yet, but they do have an amp that
you could use.
They do have a streaming category. They have a standalone streamer, which is similar to the Sonos port or the Blue Sound
node.
And it
has HDMI on it, right?
Yes, it has ARC on it, meaning you could have a pair of bookshelf speakers, use ARC out. The amp has not been released as of yet, but it is coming. And WIM is bringing – we did a YouTube video on WIM Pro versus Sonos. WIM is a very interesting product category. I am wondering if they're going to get sued or not because of how close they skate in and out of that Sonos stratosphere. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens for them in the near future as they start releasing more Sonos-like product categories. But yes, WIM is a very cool product. That falls more in the multi-zone audio category. They don't have a soundbar category as of yet. It doesn't mean they're not going to.
But if you just need left and right audio.
Yeah, if you just have a pair of bookshelf speakers and you want to simplify, get rid of that universal remote, then yes, WIM or a Sonos amp or a Blue Sound power node would work in that category and sound way better than any of the sound bars that are out there because you're using a traditional speaker. WIM can also sidestep of the WIM amplifier is they do not have a wireless subcategory, meaning, but you can use a subwoofer with it because it does have a subwoofer output on the amplifier, but they don't have a wireless sub that you can pair with it. So that
yet, but yet. They're still kind of working their way into the game.
Right. They're the new kid on the block, and boy, did they come out swinging. I mean,
it was originally just a streamer that they
$150 $150
that was doing the same thing as the Sonos as
port.
Yes.
Port. Yeah, no, the port was $350, and I think the Wim Pro was $150. I think the amp is $499 versus Sonos's $799 or $699. You know, so there's a lot of interesting categories that are coming out. The other fun thing that we've noticed, this doesn't really fall into the soundbar category, we find it interesting though, is there's a company called the turntable company,
Victrola.
Thank you. Victrola has made a wireless turntable category. I know I want to douse myself in gasoline and light a match when I think of the word wireless turntable that drops into the Sonos ecosystem. So really interesting. Literally, you can set it on a tabletop anywhere in your home, and you can even group it, yes, I know, with your Sonos soundbar or any Sonos product in the ecosystem. But again, that's not soundbar related. But it's just there's a lot of interesting things that just talks about the expansion of the Sonos ecosystem along the lines of how Sonos drops into play, how everybody behaves, and how everything is, you know, behaving when it comes to that soundbar category. So pros and cons, recap. One, soundbars, easy to control, easy to operate. Enhanced dialogue, sound better than TV speakers. Cons, they do not fit the home theater itch.
But
they
really don't scratch the itch. Their intention, though. Their intention is to help people, and usually, like you're saying, more older people.
Well, you
but it's to help them get better than TV audio. Or just like the everyday person that they... They have come to the realization that their TV looks great, but their sound is horrible.
You say that, but I'm staring right here at the Yamaha True X Bar 50A. Gives you cinematic immersion of Dolby. And this thing is less than 3 feet long, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Gives you cinematic immersion of Dolby Atmos in a slim sound bar and a powerful wireless subwoofer. Holy cow, that's hard to say. Add portable surround speakers if you want for flexible home theater. So, Dolby Atmos technology with up-firing drivers. Well, where does your TV hang? Right above it. Okay, I'm just going to point that out there. True X surround ready. True X portable surround ready. Plays music and podcasts through AirPlay 2, Spotify Connect. Clear voice, enhanced dialogue, simple setup with HDMI. So you can't say that they're not trying to gear.
They're trying.
At $699, at $700.
They're trying, but what they say they can do and what my ears actually hear may be two different things.
Right. So what I hear or what my eyes see is a darn muddy mess when I'm staring at it. You know, that's what I see. So, and that is their used to be top of the line. Now, Yamaha actually was the original pioneer of the soundbar, along with another company. It'll come to me. I think it was Zvox or something that was just kind of an off-the-wall shoot of it. But Yamaha had what was called the Z11 something or other. It was giant. It was a $2,000 soundbar. This was probably circa 2001, 2002 era. Had its own remote. Did not use HDMI. Had 15 million sound modes on it, just like most Yamaha stuff does. But again, when they demonstrated it, it was demonstrated in a 12-foot by 12-foot by 12-foot square room where you could take advantage, which means what? A bedroom.
Right.
You know, something like a bedroom.
Something that is like close quarters.
Yeah, close quarters. Now, most of these sound bars are talking about home theater. Now, Klipsch kind of learned the hard lesson. Klipsch, if you go to Klipsch's soundbar technology, they talk about speech enhancement. They talk about dialogue. They talk about 2.1 versus 3.1 versus 4.1. They talk about the cinema pack. They have the wireless rear speaker sound system for sound enhancement, all at a whopping price. At $399, which is why we don't sell Klipsch anymore, because they're on sale all the time. But at $399 or $299 or whatever. But it's a great soundbar. It's a great sounding little soundbar for what we're trying to do.
However, once again, if you're just trying to make your TV in your bedroom sound better, you know, that's...
But what does that say? Cinema 1200 soundbar with 5.1.4. So you're telling me that you fit nine channels in a stick.
No, they're not. Because in that one right there, you've got the left, center, right in the soundbar itself. Right. And then they're including two rear speakers and a subwoofer.
Yeah, but that's seven. Or that's five. But they what they do is they have two up-firing passive radiators is what that was. So what they're trying to say is they're, again, trying to do it. They're trying to market it towards home theater. So now if we go to Bowers Wilkins, so they had what was called the formation category. We'll have to ask Bowers. I don't quite know if they've abandoned the formation or not. I do know that they came out hot and heavy with it. Theirs is in the higher end category. It looks like they're still selling the Sonos-like formation wedge and flex and subwoofer and panorama and formation movie collection. I like the way it looked. I thought it was an interesting product category for them. I did not understand why they jumped into that product category. I know our friends at Name Audio, Name jumped into the soundbar-ish category with the Muso. That's a tabletop looking, looks like it should be on the Starship Enterprise type of thing. It's really cool. That also works with Arc. They also have their all-in-one, what's called the Focal Atom streamer with Arc, you know. So if you want to do a higher end bookshelf system like that, the problem with using things like Name and Bowers and Wilkins is it's higher on the price spectrum. It's not as flexible as something like a Sonos or a Blue Sound, mainly because those companies just got the jump start. They've got a 20-year head start on those types of companies that are just kind of trying to play catch up. I know Denon tried to do that with Heos. I don't know. I think they've abandoned the Heos soundbar. I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that or not. I know Heos is still very much a thing with their streaming audio platform built into their AV receivers. So with that being said, which Ian, strangely enough, said that should be the name of our podcast, is with that being said, that is our holy cow. This was a hard topic to get 52 minutes out of soundbar category. Tony, do you have a crystal ball recap? Not really crystal ball, because we know soundbars aren't going anywhere. They're everywhere. Target, Walmart, Best Buy, here, everywhere. What is your general thought and purpose behind the soundbar? Do you have anything?
Well, with a soundbar, what I would tell somebody when they're looking into getting one is figuring out what you really need. Do you need more than just the 2.1, or do you need the 3.1? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you having trouble hearing the dialogue and you need to boost that up? Because if so, a 2.1 is not going to do any good. You would need something 3.1 or better.
So I would say 2.1 is okay for dialogue. I mean, 2.1 doesn't do bad. It's just stereo is all it is. It's just stereo and a subwoofer. 3.1 separates it a little bit. It kind of gives you that left and right pan, correct? It kind of goes from left, center, right, left, center, right.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, as we've discovered, a lot of your dialogue is mixed to that center channel.
Right. Oh, it's all on the center channel.
So if
it's
you
the hardest
have,
working speaker in any cinema, yeah, and whether it be a $500,000 cinema or $200 cinema.
Right.
Know?
So if you have a soundbar that is a three-way kind of thing where it's left, center, right, then I think that will give you a better result if you're trying to boost the dialogue
right.
than with a just a two channel.
Okay, I see that. I see that. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think there's really anything to add to it. I think it's a category. The reason why we're even covering it, it's a category that we get asked about a lot because people are getting older. They're trying to move out of more complicated systems into streamlined, hey, it just works type of systems. And they're just trying to hear again, Justin, I just want to watch my flipping TV. You know, I just want to turn it on and have it work and be able to control the volume because, again, they're more TV dependent. They don't, you know, it's on more than it used to be, and they're using it more than they used to, meaning they just want to make it simple to use. And I think the soundbar category has a time and a place. I think it has a general purpose. But again, where I've found it to be offensive is when they started to market it through home theater. When they start marketing as a theater surround system, to me, that's poor education. That's really good marketing and a really poor way to announce a product that just doesn't fall into that category, especially if you have a large room. If you have a large room, and you're sitting 15 to 20 feet away or 16, 18 feet away from a soundbar, that little 3-inch driver is screaming as loud as it can go to do what it's trying to do. There may be a different application for that.
Right. Really better for tight quarters.
Right. Yeah. No, then I would probably push you toward a bookshelf speaker that's a larger driver. It's physics, guys. It's sound pressure and physics. It's the way a speaker pressurizes a room. So with that being said, I think it's a great product category for some that are trying to downsize and enhance. I think it's a great category for people that are just trying to hear better than TV speakers or enhanced bedroom speakers or enhanced bedroom audio. Or if you're jumping into Blue Sound Sonos type of things and want to expand, it's a great place to expand your multi-zone audio experience around your home.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I think that's it. So, Tony, I think we have beaten question 3 to death. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And this is the Technology Rocks Episode 3 podcast. Up to 200 listeners, T. 4 days and 200 listeners. That's not a bad run. We've even got a few listeners in Belgium and 2 now in Frankfurt, Germany. So, and then one in Victoria, Canada. It's interesting to see all these people you guys are spreading the word. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like or subscribe. Please, 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 please like or subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcast or Amazon Music, wherever you're listening to it. There are reasons for that. One, it helps us track what episode gets the most listens and what you guys are interested in. And
also,
and
when you subscribe, you can tell us, you know, what you would like for us to cover next.
Exactly.
Then we know, I know, did we do good or do we need to attack a different subject or do you want more information about something we've already talked about?
Right. No, exactly. You know, if you have any questions, please call us at Define Audio Video 281-296-6600. You can find us on the Facebook page of Define Audio Video. And that's where the technology, you'll see new episodes launching at Technology Rocks. But here's the other benefit of subscribing. It will tell you when a new episode launches, so you won't have to actually go back into it and look for it. It will automatically tell you, hey, new episodes uploaded, blah, blah, blah. The other thing, like or subscribe on our podcast. Call us if you got a topic. Post on Define AV's Facebook if you got a topic. We're so very interested to hear what you got to say. A lot of you have provided awesome feedback. We've had so many phone calls about some of the other shows that we've done. A lot of cool questions, we don't know everything. If you have something, a suggestion, or hey, I've tried this and it worked pretty well, let us know because we just want to tell the general audience. So, Technology Rocks, I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And you have a great Tuesday.